Are we afraid to impact our society? Are we afraid to have influence? Or does it really distract us from the gospel itself?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let's talk honestly, candidly. How much influence are we really supposed to have in society as followers of Jesus? How much impact are we supposed to have in changing the world around us? Are we supposed to be leading in politics? Are we supposed to be presidents of universities? Are we supposed to be the ones leading the way in city transformation? How much influence should we have as believers? Should we in any sense try to take over? Is it a matter not so much of domination, but infiltration? If God was really working mightily in your city, what would it look like? How much influence should we have as believers? And are we afraid to say, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I want to impact my city for good? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Is there something wrong with our thinking? Well, I'm going to share the gospel with people. I'm going to seek to be a good witness, and I'm going to be prayerful, all of which is wonderful, all of which is foundational, all of which is part of who we are. But do we have a certain timidity where others, with their agenda, their worldview, their mindset, following their convictions, are transforming the world around us? Have we simply given over the world society to others who have very different world visions that want to change things in different ways? And this is coming from 100 different fronts. Have we gotten out of the way with some wrong way of thinking? And rather than say, hey, I'm not ashamed to say I'm a follower of Jesus. And as a follower of Jesus, I want to make an impact. As a follower of Jesus, I believe that the values we hold to are good. I believe that the values we hold to are in harmony with Proverbs 14:34 that says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. This is a universal principle for all. Or is this a matter of now us imposing our religious beliefs on others? Is this a violation of separation of church and state? Is this contrary to the gospel method? We've talked about this general subject in different ways and at different times. And I want to revisit it today in light of the overwhelming passage of the marriage amendment here in North Carolina. The vote was 61% to 39%. There were record turnouts. And what's interesting is that in North Carolina, there are million-something voters who are unaffiliated. And then there are about 2.7 million Democrats and 1.9 million Republicans. So this transcended Democrat-Republican. And in fact, the houses of Congress here in North Carolina for 140 years have been under Democratic control. And for 8 years now, people were trying to get a vote on marriage here so it would be part of our Constitution so that no activist judge could overturn it. And the Democratic-controlled Senate would not let that happen. Now, listen, I'm critical of Republicans, I'm critical of Democrats, and I praise good Republicans, I praise good Democrats, so I'm simply giving you the history here. Republicans now controlling the houses of Congress for the first time in North Carolina in 140 years opened the door for a vote, and the people voted 61% to 39%, quite an overwhelming vote. Now, I don't want to focus on North Carolina. I'm going to talk about that in the second hour when we're on stations all over North Carolina. But it raises some issues because people are saying to us, well, this is Christian Sharia. You are just trying to take over and impose your religious beliefs. What about separation of church and state? We're going to talk that through today right here on The Line of Fire. How much influence should we have?
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, wherever you live, should you have this attitude? I'm a follower of Jesus, and if God's put me in the business world, I want to be an agent of change in the business world. I want to be a soul winner. I want to be an agent of change. I want to be an agent of righteousness. God's put me in the educational realm. God's put me in the media. God's put me in the arts. God's put me in sports. God's put me in the inner city, wherever it is. And I want to be used by God as an agent of change. And because I'm a follower of Jesus, I believe we have godly values. I believe we have godly beliefs. I believe we have godly ways of living. And therefore, to whatever extent I can influence the culture around me within the parameters of being an American citizen, I want to do that. 866-34-TRUTH. Are we afraid to do that? Are we just kind of in the we'll tell people about Jesus, but as far as cultural influence, we're kind of in the closet, and we think that that's mixing the gospel with this world? 866-348-7884, or go to our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, one word, AskDR Brown, and weigh in there. Before I go to the phones, there is an article that should run in town hall, probably be posted at midnight tonight, so you'll see it early in the morning. Does Billy Graham advocate Christian Sharia? What are you talking about, Mike Brown? Well, this is a charge. Does Billy Graham advocate Christian Sharia? So I begin the article by saying this. Of all the attacks that have come against Reverend Billy Graham in his decades of ministry, a recent attack from gay activist Wayne Besson may be the most ridiculous yet. It was all because Graham took out a full-page ad in 14 North Carolina newspapers supporting the now-passed marriage amendment. How dare he? The ad featured a large picture of Graham with these words. In 93, I never thought we would have to debate the definition of marriage. The Bible is clear. God's definition of marriage is between a man and a woman. I want to urge my fellow North Carolinians to vote for the marriage amendment on Tuesday, May 8th. God bless you as you vote. That was it. Simple statement by the most respected Christian leader in America in the 20th century, reaffirming what was never disputed until recent years, despite the presence of homosexual relationships in various societies for countless centuries. Marriage is between the man and the woman. And for those who care to know, there's not a syllable in the scriptures that gives the slightest hint that marriage is intended to be anything other than the union of a man and a woman. So how did Besson respond to the ad? He called Graham a one-time anti-Semite, referred to him as this fraud, grouped him with other totalitarian preachers, and claimed that, quote, Graham is now trying to jam his own church rules and doctrines down my throat, and that, quote, he thinks I should be forced against my will to live by its rules. Besson asked, do we now make our civil laws based upon Christian Sharia? Do we all have to follow his version of the Bible or be punished by government? And if this is the case, are we really a free country? Are we really much different than Iran, or is it only a matter of degrees or a matter of time until these so-called Christian supremacists get their paws on all of our laws? This is actually meant to be taken seriously. This diatribe is actually meant to be taken seriously. When Besson continues, I'm not sure who Billy Graham thinks he is, but it seems like he believes he is superior and his followers have a mandate to hijack civil law and decide for the rest of us how we live. He's also claimed that Graham is dead wrong about the Bible being clear. And then actor Michael Verratti said implicit in the First Amendment is the separation of church and state, a basic principle that was championed by Thomas Jefferson to ensure that you could celebrate your faith peaceably without defecating, I'll just change the word, they're all over someone else's rights or beliefs. Now, of course, this is outrageous rhetoric, and it reflects the idea that when someone simply says, you know, we don't want to redefine marriage, it's never been done. The last 11 years, it's the first time it's ever been done in world history, and for 1,000 reasons, both biblical and moral and social and beyond, we don't want to redefine marriage. The idea that there's no Christian Sharia is so ridiculous that it basically disqualifies itself. In other words, you hear an argument like that, you think it just completely disqualifies itself. But that begs the question, are we shy about exerting influence according to the rights we have, according to our rights as citizens? We're not talking about imposing our religious beliefs on others. We're not talking about mandatory church attendance. We're simply saying we have moral values, we have beliefs, we have things that we value. We believe these are good for everyone, and to whatever extent we can be ambassadors of good, ambassadors of truth, righteousness, we are going to do it. Why not? Why not? How does that detract from the gospel? And isn't it part of the gospel? And if we are godly in our influence and as a role model, doesn't that open up the door for the preaching of the rest of the message about Jesus? 866-34-TRUTH. Troy in Friendswood. All right, we lost Troy in Friendswood, Texas. I like that name, Friendswood, Texas. Let's go to BD in Arlington, Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello.
So I just have a couple thoughts. I'll be quick, and I'd like to express them and get your thoughts. First off, it always amazes me when I go to my church, and we're a Bible-based church, and I see stickers on the cars in the parking lot advocating political support for individuals that are completely contrary to the values that I believe Christians should hold. Mm-hmm. And without going into the parties of the people, I find, you know, your question's really a provocative question because it really begs, who do we think we are in the society? What do we think our role is as Christians? And then have we really surrendered that role to your good praise? And I believe that, you know, if you wanted to throw terms around, secular Sharia is the law of the day.
Mm.
Education would suggest that Christians have ceded that ground, at least public education, and that the values that are both the education and the unions that support education are certainly contrary to Christian principles.
Let's just jump in on what you're saying. Let's think of the education system. In New York City, a radical sex ed curriculum has been introduced, and it is now law, beginning with middle school kids. Now, I'm real sensitive to that because our oldest granddaughter is 11, so this is coming up into middle school age. And what they teach the kids and what they introduce them to, and then as they're getting older, how to go to a store and buy a condom and which work better than others. And, you know, I may be saying some of these things, and parents maybe just picked up kids from school. Don't talk about this. Hey, that has been talked about in school in their sex ed class for many of them. Or the fact that they're going to be talked about different sexual activities. Remember, they're all minors, so they shouldn't be engaged in these anyway. Different sexual activities that would even be foreign to many adults, and then told which are the most dangerous. This is completely outrageous, and whatever positive motive there is to save kids from certain unintended consequences, sexually transmitted diseases, etc., whatever noble motivation there is, the thing is miserable. It's horrific. It's absolutely wrong.
It's horrific.
How did it happen?
It's preposterous. It's horrific. It's happened, in my opinion, and this is, I hate to generalize, but a conversation like this, you know, you get too specific, you start pointing fingers, and I don't want to be a blame shifter, but I do believe that generally many Christians don't understand who they are in Christ and what that means to their lives and their role socially.
Yes.
And they actually create a wall of separation between church and state, which feeds right into the secularist agenda, because they actually buy into the notion that there is such a separation and that it's constitutionally provisioned, rather than understanding the tenets of the Constitution and its mandate and really what it's based upon, which are really Christian principles. So, you know, as I think about this, I think we've really ceded ground. I think we're getting the outcome socially that we produce as a result of our own lack of participation, if you will.
Yep.
And when I bring this up to Christians, I get a lot of what I call running away from the issue and hiding behind God.
We can get so spiritual about things. Of course we pray. Of course our battle is ultimately spiritual. But if someone is on the street hungry and thirsty, we don't just go in our room and pray for that person. We help that person in a tangible way. And 1 John and Jacob James both address that directly. That if
Jesus,
it's real faith,
got his hands dirty with the Pharisees.
He's going to touch people in a tangible way. Hey, I've got a break coming up. Let me jump in. But friends, I wholeheartedly agree with what BD is saying. No surprise to you listening. We've abdicated. I am I am not talking about, well, we're going to start a Christian political party and take over. Or that's not my mindset. My mindset is by being involved in God as God's people, as many of you are. And thank God for those of you who are doing this. Thank God for those who are swimming against the tide and going against the grain. And I'm here on the air to strengthen you and to encourage you and say, hey, together we're making a difference. But we have abdicated. And in our abdicating, we have opened the door for others with different ideologies, different mindsets, different convictions to do what they feel is right. Who's to blame? Us. Which also means we have the solution. We have the answer.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I honestly believe that some of us are gun-shy, that some of us are just afraid to stand up and stand out as believers, not in some obnoxious, self-righteous way, but to serve and to make a difference. And to say, hey, Jesus changed my life, and I live by these values, and I'd love to model them for you. I'd love to show you this life that I live. We have friends right here that are very heavily involved in kingdom business. What I mean is that they are Christian businessmen, but they form their business for the glory of God. They give generously out of their business. They operate based on kingdom principles, and they use the business as a way to spread the gospel and to extend righteousness here and in other locations. Shouldn't we be doing that wherever we go? Why is it okay for liberal Christians who don't even believe the Bible is God's word the way that we do? Why is it okay for them to say, hey, we want to bring about changes in the society based on our religious beliefs? That's fine. But when we go to do things based on our convictions, no, that separation of church and state, Christian Sharia, Christian supremacists, all this nonsense rhetoric, I think some of us are gun-shy. I'm not talking about imposing our beliefs on others, meaning that my neighbor has to pray three times a day, or my neighbor has to attend church services, or my neighbor is required to read the Bible. But everyone is going to vote for what they feel is right, with laws, with political leaders, with government decisions. Should not we have a role in that as believers? And are we not responsible for the kind of world we leave to our children and grandchildren? 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, I am really charged and excited to be holding in my hand a 64-page mini-book, beautifully produced paperback, A Stealth Agenda by yours truly. It is a condensation, a condensed version of four of the most important chapters in A Queer Thing Happened to America: A Stealth Agenda, Jewish Hitler's Christian Jihadists and the Magical Effects of Pushing the Hate Button, Boys Will Be Girls Will Be Boys, Undoing Gender and Teaching Gay as Good in Our Children's Schools, Queer Theology, A Gay Lesbian Bible and a Homoerotic Christ, and Big Brother is Watching and He Really is Gay, beautifully produced by our friends at Truth in Action Ministries. We just got our first shipment in. It's not for sale, but it is the best tool now we have just to give to someone to talk about a stealth agenda, the most eye-opening thing, and then, of course, leads into our 700-page book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. So this is yours, excuse me, for your gift of any size. We really need people to stand with us who believe in what we're doing as we are in the front lines. And your gift of any size, those that have a little, give a little, those that have a lot, give a lot. This is how it works in the kingdom. And then we'll send this out to you as our thank you. Give me a call at 1-800-278-9978. Our team is ready to take your call right now. 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size, we'll send you the Stealth Agenda. I believe it is going to be a tremendously important, useful tool for you. 1-800-278-9978. All right, back to the phones. How much influence are we supposed to have in society as believers? Marcus in Harpers Ferry, West Virginia, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking my calls. Yeah, Paul, you had a lot of questions, so here's all the answers. Yes, 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 and yes.
Uh-huh. So,
but anyway, yeah, I agree with you on just about everything you said, probably everything. And the main question about us as believers, are we shy in doing what God commands us to do as far as spreading the word? Yes, we are, for the most part, and I think one of the main reasons for that has been over the course of decades, the constant battering that Christians have taken through the media, be it through music, through comedy, shows like Saturday Night Live, et cetera, that they just, you can't watch television and go for an hour without finding some negative Christian comment or innuendo. And I think people that watch a lot of TV, as most Americans do, and they are Christians, and they see this battering, it then kind of causes them to withdraw back into a shell and be afraid to step out because they don't want it personally put in their face. But I think right now, given the state that our country is in as Christians, we have no choice left. We cannot sit on the sideline and wait for other people to do the job that we were commanded to do, and we have to step out in faith and with courage and sensitively in some cases and not so in other cases, state what we have to state to try to influence people, pull them back into a more stricter view of Christianity and what the Bible states. I understand if you really read it and understand it literally as I do, some of it is uncomfortable here, but it is the truth. And nothing will set you freer than that truth.
The clearest portions are the ones that make us most uncomfortable, I think. And Marcus, there's an important point I want to emphasize. When you talk about the media bombardment and the negative portrayal of believers, or right now in North Carolina, someone just posted on my Facebook page that here in North Carolina, as we've simply said, marriage is what it's always been, and we don't want a judge to be able to change that. We're being called a state of hate, bigoted, backwards, intolerant. Well, a lot of people don't want that. A lot of people get off the front lines, Marcus. And Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, "Do not be ashamed of the Lord or of me, his prisoner." And in other words, association with Jesus often brands us negatively. Association with Jesus gets us painted in a negative way. Association with some of the Lord's servants. I don't mean because of a sinful scandal. That's a shame and terrible, and we all grieve over. I mean because the Lord's followers are often persecuted. Paul's in prison. Oh, you're with Paul? He's in prison. He's doing something wrong. That's why he's in prison. Are we willing to take the reproach and stand up for what's right and show the world who Jesus really is and show the world the beauty of the life that he calls us to and how going against the grain is being obedient to the Lord? All right, phone lines are lit up. We've got one open line if you want to join in, 866-34-TRUTH. I want to get to as many calls as I can in the next half hour. Again, a reminder to our friends, as always mentioned, listening on WAVA in the greater Washington, D.C. area, that the entire first hour airs from 5 to 6 in the evening on WAVA on the AM station. Everybody, you can catch the rest of the broadcast on our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Okay, can I appeal to every one of you who believes in what we're doing and who values my voice being on the radio? Give us a call right now. Our team is waiting to take your call, 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size, I want to send you as a thank you, a Stealth Agenda, 64-page paperback condensing some of the key chapters in A Queer Thing Happened to America. I tell you, this book will have you riveted from the first page to the last, and then you'll want to give it out to others. So 1-800-278-9978 or make an online donation via askdrbrown.org. Come on, friends. Time to let our light shine. I know it's dark out there. The light will be even more effective. The darker it is, the more change we can bring.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I want to go to the phones in a moment, but I've got to share some interaction that I had on our ministry Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown. It's Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. There are a couple of them, but let me go to this one first because I think it's especially relevant. This was from a guy named Marty. 866-34-TRUTH to get in the program with us, to get in the conversation about how much influence should we have as believers. So Marty posted this on my ministry Facebook page, asked Dr. Brown, the last time North America amended its laws on marriage, wording seems familiar, doesn't it? And it's a link to a website, and it says the last time North Carolina amended their constitution on marriage, and it shows you amendment to Article 14, Chapter 30, an ordinance to amend Article 14 of the Constitution prohibiting intermarriage of the races. Okay, this was 1875 and only overturned in 1971 officially. So I posted back, Marty, could you please explain the connection between an unjust ban on marriage between a man and woman of different races and a just and godly ban against the fundamental redefinition of marriage? Marty responds, sure. The nice folks who passed the law against intermarriage used the Bible as their justification. Get it now? I responded, Marty, wrong. There is not a word in the Bible against interracial marriage. In fact, Moses was married to a black woman. In contrast, the Bible from beginning to end recognizes marriage as the union of a man and woman only and speaks without exception against homosexual practice. Marty, I strongly recommend that you read the chapter in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, entitled, Is Gay the New Black? Marty, and I strongly recommend you read the Constitution. You are entitled to your interpretation of the Bible, he says, and practice as you wish, but you don't have the right to force your view on others. Marty, I've done that, of course, and you'll read that chapter in my book. Where does the Constitution address the issue of the government sanctioning or approving or recognizing homosexual relations? So I said, yeah, I've done that. I've read the Constitution. And I said, so you'll read this chapter in my book. And I asked him, where does the Constitution address the issue of the government sanctioning or approving or recognizing homosexual relationships? Marty, nor does it mention making it illegal, and I pray it never will. Marty, are there any relationships that the government should make illegal? I ask him. Do you find this in the Constitution? He replies, I see nothing in the Constitution that permits you to inflict your religion on others, if that was your question. I responded, that was not my question, and I'm not inflicting my religion on anyone. I'm simply voting as an American citizen, just as atheists do, Muslims do, and a host of others do. But please answer my question. Are there any relationships that the government should make illegal? Do you find this in the Constitution? And of course, hours go by without a response because it's empty, vacuous, to quote the Constitution and say that we're supposed to redefine marriage. It's empty, vacuous, baseless, to quote the Constitution and say that we are supposed to sanction every loving relationship. Nobody agrees with that. Nobody believes that. Everyone wants to have some parameters. Well, based on what? So a simple question from Marty, who brought up the Constitution to me. Are there any relationships that the government should make illegal? Do you find this in the Constitution? No answer. And this line, you're entitled to your interpretation of the Bible and practice as you wish, but you don't have the right to force your view on others. Well, he's forcing his view on others if he's against polygamy. He's forcing his view on others if he tells a 57-year-old man that's in love with a 15-year-old girl that they can't be together. He's enforcing his beliefs. And when government sanctions redefinition of marriage and then it gets taught in the schools and parents can't opt their kids out, then he's enforcing his view on others. And all we're doing here is saying have whatever relationships you want, but we're not going to redefine marriage or ask the government to back it based on the desires of some adults. We'll be back.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me go straight to the phones to answer the question we've been asking. How much influence should we have as believers? Are we afraid that people are going to tell us we're trying to take over, or this is the equivalent of Christian Sharia, equivalent of Islamic Sharia, and we're going to take over? Look, no one is talking about beheading adulterers, okay, like they do in Sharia law. And no one is outlawing conversion as they do in Sharia law. If there was a tremendously strong gospel influence across America, and Muslims came to faith in Jesus, and Jews came to faith in Jesus, and atheists came to faith in Jesus, you better believe there would be no law that people who followed Jesus couldn't convert to another religion. Religious liberty is one of the foundations of the country. 866-34-TRUTH. Phyllis in Monmouth County, New Jersey, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you so much for allowing me to. Listen, I am from North Carolina, and when I heard the change there, what the vote had brought about, I was so excited that the Lord has arranged. But to answer your question, Christian believers are also Christian citizens, and as such, we have as much responsibility as any other citizen to influence the governing of the people and to preserve the liberties that this country was founded on. So I always wondered how being Black got paralleled with certain practices, behavioral practices,
yeah,
of a certain group of people. I'm a Black person, and I just never really understood that at all, even though other Black people tout that is whatever they say. I'm confused about that. The other part is you've answered so beautifully, the guy who hit you on Facebook. We as Christians need to be a little bit more intelligent. We don't know a lot about a lot of things. So I think we get, you know, we just not to have to talk about it or to deal with it. We just stay in our little corners where everything is like rosy and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not really working as Christians in this. You know, we're going to church and we're enjoying that, but we're not really out there and we're not really seeing,
yeah,
the effect of some of the movements and trends are having on our society at large and the pain and suffering of so many people. So we hide a whole bunch. I'm excited to know that you are on the radio. I listen to you when you are on television. I'm excited to know that
ministries
like yours are helping all of us to grow in our faith and to walk as true Christians and believers in this country. And these people who are so outraged against us are actually free because of our fundamental beliefs here. To be outraged, and I think that they're not intelligent enough to understand that. If they take away this liberty, they too will be silent. So may God bless you in every way, and I do want the book. I will call back and get it. Thank you
awesome.
So much.
Awesome. Thank you, Phyllis.
Okay.
God bless you. I appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. What a joy to know that we're making a difference in lives. And again, number to call, 1-800-278-9978, your gift of any size. We will send you a Stealth Agenda. It's a beautiful 64-page paperback condensing some of the key chapters in my 700-page book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. So it is such an important tool. I'm so thrilled that Truth in Action Ministries has helped put it together for us. A couple of comments on what Phyllis said. Actually, three quick comments. One, I'm sure that a lot of us are not sure what to say, how to say it, how to get engaged, and therefore we're silent. I know I'll do that if I'm communicating in a language that I'm not really good at. I kind of withdraw. I avoid talking to people that speak that language because I'm afraid I'm going to miss something. I think a lot of us don't know what to say. We're afraid either to misrepresent the Lord or we're going to be embarrassed or shamed, so we draw back. A second thing that Phyllis pointed out is, yeah, I know there are Black leaders that are making the equation that gay rights is the new civil rights movement, but you cannot equate skin color with an attraction or a behavior. And if Phyllis went to a store, she cannot not be Black anymore than I cannot be white, or not be white, excuse me. And whereas someone with a certain sexual orientation, the whole world doesn't know it the moment they appear somewhere. In other words, there are fundamental differences. Plus, sexual orientation is not innate and immutable as skin color is. The list goes on. The other point, though, that just gets my attention is when an atheist goes to vote and they have a worldview formed on atheism, do they have every vote right to vote? Yes. And whatever candidate they're voting for? Yes. If a Muslim goes to vote, does that Muslim have every right to vote based on their worldview as a Muslim? If a gay atheist or a gay Muslim or whoever the person is wants to vote and they have a certain worldview, if a person is a New Ager, if a person believes that they themselves are the Messiah, that whoever they are, everyone has a right to vote based on their views. Why don't we as followers of Jesus? Why don't we have the right to petition Congress based on what we believe is right? Why don't we have the right to talk to our school boards based on what we believe is right? Again, we are not threatening. If you don't listen to us, we're going to bring a curse on you. We're not threatening. We're going to take over and throw you in jail. No, to the contrary. The more Christian principles are followed, the more there will be liberty within the bounds of the law. But what holds us back? 866-34-TRUTH. Viviana in Brooklyn, thanks for calling. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
God bless you, Michael. And I affirm all that was said by Marcus and Phyllis. We just had a seminar in New York, and it was attended by Maggie Gallagher of NAM and
National Organization
Ed
of Marriage.
National and Ed Mechman talking about the HHS. But focusing on the marriage issue, and there is actually a homosexual agenda that is so pervasive that have gotten people in such high places that it's at the point where they want to penalize anyone who differs with them. How dare they call Dr. Billy Graham a Christian Sharia, and it's just hyping up the rhetoric.
Of course.
Because they want to demonize anybody who says no. I want to salute everyone in North Carolina and those in California and the other people that are saying, look, I'm salt and light. The freedoms that God gave us to be able to say a child deserves a mother and a father, like Maggie Gallagher says, and for them to be raised in a stabilized home, that is something that is fundamental throughout the world. So if we as Christians decide to be silent, the way they have it set up, and I'm telling you, they in this book, if it's okay with you, I'd like to share a title of a book, The Homosexual Agenda by Alan Sears. And
Alan Sears and Craig Austin. It's
right.
It lays out how this is the principal threat to religious liberty today. It's a book I read years back that helped focus my attention. In fact, A Queer Thing Happened to America was a follow up to that. And the book that we're giving away really for a gift of any size, the book A Stealth Agenda, Viviana, is actually a condensed version of A Queer Thing Happened to America, and the last chapter is about the loss of religious rights, the loss of religious freedoms. But thanks for always, as always, dear sister, our friend Chaplain Viviana from Brooklyn, for standing on the front lines of righteousness. 866-34-TRUTH. I have a bunch of folks in agreement with me. I just want to grab a call from someone from a different perspective, perhaps. Richard in Garden City, Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, my name is Richard Forster, and my question was, if we're Christ-like and followers of Christ, and we see that Christ never got himself involved in politics, why do we, if we're Bible-based, Bible-principle individuals?
Well, what would he have gotten involved in Rome then? What would have been the parallel in terms of what he would have gotten involved with?
In what sense?
Well, in other words, he didn't live in America where there was voting, where we elected officials. He lived in Judea under Roman government. So what politics would he have been involved in?
He never was involved in politics.
No, but what could he have been? What possible venue was open for him?
That I don't know, but I know he was only here to do his father's will, he said.
All right, okay, so let me ask you a question.
Yes.
If Jesus didn't, you're saying if Jesus didn't do it himself, then we shouldn't do it. Did he get married?
No.
All right, then we shouldn't get married.
That has nothing to do with politics.
Oh, who's talking? You just said you gave one example. I'm giving you another example. Why should we get married if he didn't?
Because God doesn't like, because then we would be fornicators and adulterers, and God...
No, but you didn't answer my question. We're supposed to be Christ followers. He didn't get married. He didn't have children. See, the point is he called us to be the salt of the earth and to be the light
exactly.
of the world. And therefore, in every area of society, he was a carpenter. Are you a carpenter?
No, I work for a CPA firm.
Right. So Richard, the point I'm making, I got a break here. I appreciate your thoughts, and I am not saying vote Republican, vote Democrat. In fact, I am not a politically oriented person, but I'm a righteousness oriented person. And we are to make an impact in every area of society where we can. And there were Jewish followers of Jesus who were part of the Sanhedrin. That was the Jewish government.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, if we are to make disciples of the nations and we're to be disciples, how do disciples live? How do I live as a disciple in my neighborhood? How do I live as a disciple in school? How do I live as a disciple in the business place? How do I live as a disciple in the midst of the media, or sports, or arts, or politics? I guess Christians shouldn't be involved in sports because Jesus wasn't involved in sports. And you just go down the list. There are very few things we'll actually be able to do if we can only do what Jesus did. Now, if we do what Jesus did and bring it into every area of society, preach the gospel, heal the sick, drive out demons, teach the truth of God, and bring that wherever we are, that's awesome. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Let me grab a response here. Kevin in Nyack, New York, you wanted to respond to our friend Richard. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? I mean, contrary to his statements, I think Jesus was very much involved in politics, the politics of his day. You have time after time where Jesus was very critical of the positions of the Pharisees and the scribes and their belief system, because back then you had basically two different sets of political figures, if my understanding is correct, where the religious leaders were the politicians for their group, okay?
And so, in other words, if we think of the governing role that these different groups had over the Jewish people within the confines of Roman rule, the leadership of the people was Jewish leadership, and Jesus certainly interacts with that Jewish leadership. So, in terms of within the context of the day, right? You can make a case for him being involved.
I
look at it, he was a kingdom activist, and therefore it influences every area of society. Hey, man, thank you for the call. Got to run, but thanks for weighing in, Kevin. I appreciate it. All right, Troy in Friendswood, Texas, man. I tried you like 30 minutes ago. Glad you're back.
Yes, sir. I apologize.
That's
and
all right.
I love your show, and I listen to you all the time.
Well, thank you.
And, okay, brother, I very much think that Christians should be involved in politics and business and every other realm of the world. And I believe everything you said, that we're supposed to be a light and a beacon. The problem I have with it is over 51% of Christians are divorced. Divorce inside the church is actually 1% higher than the world. And I have no problem with a person who's never been divorced fighting for the sanctity of marriage. But I think the reason there's so much problem with it is there's actually more damage caused by divorce than there is by homosexuality. And no, I'm not a proponent of homosexuality.
Oh, Troy, I agree with you. I totally agree with that last statement. And I've said the same thing time and again. Yet we shoot ourselves in the foot. Often the Republican candidates, we had it in the last election, and some of our candidates this time, but in the last election, we had these various candidates, and this is supposedly the family party, and all the candidates had been divorced, and then the Democrats, which is supposedly the anti-family party, and none of their candidates had been divorced. The one thing I want to say speak into this, though, Troy, is that there are people who've been victims of divorce, some before they were saved, some abandoned as they were saved, and God has put their lives back together. That, to me, is different than the rampant no-fault divorce. That's different than the the constant, you know, we're not compatible, so we get a divorce. So the last thing I want to do is heap condemnation on those who've been victims of divorce and you've put your life back together. But Troy, I'm with you, man. The problem in the world is not the presence of darkness. The problem is the absence of light. That's the bigger problem. But thank you, sir. I agree in terms of we need to raise our standards. We need to look in the mirror first before we can bring change to the world. And that's what many of us have been doing and continue to do. James in Burtonsville, Maryland, we're a little short on time, but please dive right in.
Sure. Two quick comments. First, I wanted to just talk about the view that we ought not be involved in politics in the marketplace.
Yes.
And I think it's kind of disingenuous to say that, to actually be on the workplace next to a person in a cubicle, not share your faith, also, you know, have a business and not minister to the people in which you say you have a best interest, but then go to a Saturday outreach and minister to people.
Right.
Go back to work on Monday and say nothing to the people that you should care about as well. So I think it's disingenuous to say that. But the other comment I wanted to say is a great way to battle the dilemma of misinterpreting of Scripture is to ask people on the liberal side, what would you change about your biblical view? And most of the time they're going to say to you, well, I would change nothing. And in that reply, you'd say, well, that's the problem, because at least I'm being genuine. I see things in the Bible that challenge me, that call me to change, that tell me to renew my mind, where you are interpreting Scripture to your own benefit.
Yeah, you know, James, there is the question, do I stand in judgment over Scripture? Am I the one who is the arbiter of truth? And I will decide where the Bible gets things right or wrong, or do I submit to God's word and say, Father, if I clearly understand this to be your will, your word, I'm going to follow what you're saying. And a lot of times we're told, you follow the principles of Jesus. You see, and you follow the principles of Jesus. Well, Jesus followed the Scriptures. In other words,
absolutely,
Jesus didn't have a problem with the word of God and the truth of the word of God and the things that were laid out there. And the fact that the God of the Old Testament was his beloved Father says something loudly and clearly to us. So, yeah, a lot of the issues come down to, am I sitting in judgment over the Word, or is the Word sitting in judgment over me? Thank you, sir, for the call. Okay, this is really cool. I mean, I'm really enjoying looking at this. It's 64 pages. It's a nice, thin paperback. You won't be intimidated when you get it. Many of you have a queer thing happen to America and think, it's an important book, but 700 pages is hard for me to just give to a friend to read. Well, give them this. Get a copy for yourself, A Stealth Agenda. It condenses four of the most important chapters from A Queer Thing Happened to America, all my words, and it's in condensed form. I mean, it's so well done. Our friends at Truth in Action Ministries put it together for us. It's not for sale, so your gift of any size means everybody can afford it. Your gift of any size, we will send this to you. It's going to be a great, great tool. And then we'll find out a way to make multiple copies available to those that will want them. But right now, your gift of any size. And those that can help us generously, friends, we are stretched out on the front lines going for it and could really use an infusion of help from those that have to give. But if everybody does what they can, our needs will be met and we'll be able to sow hundreds of these into the hands of believers around the nation. So call right now. Our team is ready to take your call. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978, or just go right online to make your donation or to become a monthly torchbearer. Go to askdrbrown.org, and when your contribution comes in, we will send this out to you. Once more, the number to call, 1-800-278-9978, and we will be sending you as our thank you gift A Stealth Agenda. Boy, in light of today's broadcast, in light of the passage of the marriage amendment here overwhelmingly in North Carolina, this has never been more important to get into your hands. My bottom line, if Jesus indeed is Lord of all, if all authority in heaven and earth is given to him, and if he sends us out into the midst of a sinning, dying world, how much change can we bring? What is the potential? What can God do through you and me? I tell you, it's more than we realize, ask, think, or even imagine. Well, the marriage amendment passed overwhelmingly here in North Carolina with national implications. I want to give you a word of encouragement today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, there is a lot to talk about today, and I really want to give you a serious word of encouragement on the Line of Fire today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I've got a stack of things I want to read and share with you. Here in North Carolina, there was an amazing victory for marriage, for family, for righteousness last night, and a victory that is heard around America and already is bringing North Carolina into a place of being vilified and attacked, revealing exactly what we're dealing with. But the marriage amendment passed. It didn't just pass. It passed 61-39%. It passed overwhelmingly, despite the fact that we were greatly outspent, despite the fact that we've been told for years, hey, the battle's over. You've already lost. Your side's already lost. I want to tell you something today. I think some of us have been duped. I think some of us have been listening to lies. I think some of us have thrown in the towel as if the things we're standing for have already been taken from us, as if there's no way to change the downward trend in society. We've been duped. We've listened to lies. This reality of what took place in North Carolina is a positive wake-up call. Oh, I got a lot to talk about today. 866-348-7884. Join the discussion on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown. That's one word, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready for this? Charlotte Observer. Oh, you got to hear this. If anybody living in the area here had any question in terms of the extreme bias of the Charlotte Observer, which is our big newspaper here and has had national influence at different times, if anyone had any question, which you shouldn't if you live here, or if you read it, in terms of the extreme bias, in terms of the extreme hostility to fundamental Christian values, to recognition of the importance of families and moms and dads, check out this editorial, which was posted within hours. I imagine it was ready from early on. Posted immediately after the votes were counted enough to declare clearly the marriage amendment passing here. On Tuesday, North Carolina foolishly and shamefully this is an editorial in the Charlotte Observer. This is their take. That's what it says, our take from the Charlotte Observer. I don't believe this was an individual opinion piece. And that's how it starts off. On Tuesday, North Carolina foolishly and shamefully joined 30 states with constitutional bans on same-sex marriages, but state voters went further than this with unwise and unnecessary constitutional change. Can you believe it starts off by saying foolishly and shamefully? 61% of the population across Democratic and Republican and independent lines, 61% against 39%. That's overwhelming support with a record turnout despite constant misinformation and constant scare tactics. So the people of North Carolina are foolish and shameful, according to the Observer. It looks to me like the Charlotte Observer is not happy to be located in North Carolina right now, is not feeling good about being North Carolinian. I want to encourage you today, friends. We've been lied to by the media. We've been sold a bill of goods. We've been shutting the door and getting in the closet. When it's time to stand up and proclaim truth, we'll be back.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Just reading the Observer's editorial. They're so upset with the marriage amendment passing so overwhelmingly here. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. You know, if the media, the popular media, the sentiment that we hear is true, then the marriage amendment should have been crushingly defeated here in North Carolina. And it should have been defeated in state after state after state. Here it is, 31 out of 31, 31 out of 31 states that have been asked, is marriage the union of a man and a woman? 31 out of 31 have said yes. And here in North Carolina, overwhelmingly so, despite the fact that there are 2.7 million Democrats compared to 1.9 million Republicans and then about a million something unaffiliated. This was across denominational. Yeah, denominational. It was across political party lines. And at least a dozen of the states have language almost identical to ours. But the Observer says, with language that declares marriage between one man and one woman is the only domestic legal union that shall be valid or recognized in the state, the amendment cast a cloud of uncertainty over the rights and benefits of unmarried couples, both gay and straight, and over domestic violence laws, child custody and visitation rights, and end-of-life arrangements. Nonsense. Attorney after attorney has looked at this and say this is not the case, and it hasn't been the case in state after state. The ambiguity, the Observer continues, created by the declaration of traditional marriage as the only domestic legal union the state will recognize is ironic. Proponents have said the constitutional ban was needed to head off activist judges for intervening, but this change almost guarantees that judges will have to intervene and interpret what the amendment allows and prohibits. No, it does not happen in state after state. And in point of fact, the Observer is not concerned about judges getting involved. They'd love to see marriage redefined. What an unbelievable editorial. North Carolina foolishly and shamefully joined 30 states with constitutional bans. What an indictment of the population of the state. Duke University professor Mike Munger told the Observer editorial board Tuesday that domestic partner benefits clearly are in jeopardy. Well, other attorneys have said that's not the case. Other professors have said that's not the case, and it hasn't been the case in other states. I reviewed this with attorneys as well. Proponents like Representative Paul Stamm, who has been the top legislative cheerleader for the amendment, have said the amendment isn't likely to have those impacts, but in truth, they don't know. That's why many legal scholars expect the courts will adjudicate the matter. Some say the amendment itself is unconstitutional and is just inviting a federal lawsuit challenging its validity. Wasn't unconstitutional in all the other states that had similar language? Friends, the fact is, despite all these scare tactics and despite all this misinformation, people still say, you know, marriage is a union of a man and a woman. There is something in our psyche, because of the impact of gay activism, because of the pervasive nature of gay celebrating media and gay celebrating education and gay celebrating politicians, and because that the progression is those who came out of the closet. We're talking about the activists, those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet. Those who were fighting for what they believe are their rights, and I understand their perspective, want to take away our rights because there's a conflict between them. Listening to all this rhetoric, you think, well, it's over, just throw in the towel. I mean, we're told over and over, well, your bigoted position is going to be exposed. You might as well just accept it. This is the way it's going. Well, no, it's not going this way. Maybe going this way in certain places, but it's not going this way. We hope there is a challenge to this misguided amendment. Come on. I mean, this is what the Observer is saying. It was unnecessary. North Carolina has banned same-sex marriages since 1996. This change unwisely writes discrimination into the state constitution. No! It is not writing discrimination into the state constitution to say marriage is what it's always been, the union of a man and woman. On what basis are we redefining it? How is that writing discrimination into it? What it is taking the position of activists that want to change and redefine, and then saying if you don't agree with changing and redefining and want to hold to the only thing we've ever known for millennia, the only thing the human race has ever known until the last 11 years, marriage being the union of a man and a woman, if you simply want to hold to that based on biblical belief, based on family belief, based on moral belief, based on whatever belief, you're writing discrimination in the Constitution? Nonsense. The state is on the wrong side of history on this matter. There it is again. State is on the road. See, blew it. Everyone realizes America's moving in the right direction. North Carolina's too backwards to get it right. Most Americans are increasingly rejecting this type of prejudice against gays and lesbians. So unless you agree to redefine marriage and have your kids taught that two men and two women can be moms and moms, dads and dads, just like mom and dad's all the same, that homosexual practice is fine, that transgenderism is fine, that if Johnny's convinced he's Jane, he uses the girls' bathroom, unless we agree to that, we are guilty of prejudice against gays and lesbians? It appears to me the Observer is openly, clearly guilty of prejudice against Christians, prejudice against biblical beliefs, prejudice against family values. A new Gallup poll showed 50% of Americans believe same-sex marriages should be recognized as legal, while 48% say such marriages should not be legal. The fact of the matter is, deeper polls that have been done, some were sponsored by the Alliance Defense Fund, came up with still radically different beliefs, showing about 60% of Americans recognized that same-sex marriage was not marriage. And by the way, why not ask the question, what do most Americans think? Does a person have the right to marry the one they love? The great majority of Americans would probably say yes to that. And that's a completely ridiculous question. Vice President Biden said it's just a matter of love. Well, that's it then. Whoever the two people are, or three or four, or whatever the equation is, whatever the age difference is, whatever, doesn't matter. They have love. You can ask any kind of questions and get any kind of results. Do a deep, serious poll and ask the questions rightly, and Americans are still on the right side of this by and large. To their credit, Mecklenburg County and a few other counties voted this amendment down. That's heartening. We're disappointed the rest of the state decided otherwise. The result doesn't show love. It's wrong and disgrace. I don't read a lot of editorials, but this, to me, is one of the most bitter, opinionated opinion pieces, emotional, imbalanced. Maybe it's common. I just don't read a lot of them. But this is shameful. This is shameful journalism, trying to shame the rest of the state and the fine people that voted for marriage. 866-34-TRUTH. We should be heartened. This is not the time we're going to bash the gay. No. We're simply saying we're not redefining marriage. Now, here we are living together. You may think we're bigoted, hateful, prejudiced. Well, let's sit down and talk. You're neighbors. Let's get to know each other as neighbors. A man's living with a man is my neighbor. They're neighbors, fine. I'll get to know them as neighbors. Come over to your house, you come over to our house, that's fine. But I'm not going to redefine marriage based on that. And more than I'm going to redefine marriage based on at least 500,000 couples that or family units that Newsweek tells us are polyamorous and that the media is celebrating more and more by the day. Multiple partners in loving relationship. Hey, let's just celebrate it. It's love. Forgive my sarcasm. 866-34-TRUTH. Jeff in Salt Lake City. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you said. But you know, we should be celebrating because here's a round where we won, and the Constitution of the United States, the form of government that was given to us by the founding fathers, is working in this instance. The states have the right to determine what goes on in their state. And this is more reason to follow what was intended by our founding fathers, and not to get the federal government involved in our lives.
The question is, Jeff, why are we so eager to get the government involved with personal relationships? In other words, the reason that we had to vote here in North Carolina and say marriage is the union of a man and woman is because we don't want the government to go around changing that, and we don't want the government to legislate every relationship. The only reason that the government cares about marriage is that marriage conveys benefits on society, and society conveys benefits on marriage. The moment we start redefining marriage, the whole thing goes out the door.
But, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is, this is a victory. This is very important. And in fact, just getting some breaking news here, Jeff, and thank you for the call. And absolutely, this is a celebration. So breaking news. All right, Steve, I'm going to bring you on to share this with us. Steve, go ahead. Breaking news from Tampa, Florida. You're calling. Go ahead.
Sitting in a medical waiting room, and they came on with breaking news and showed an interview with President Obama in which he was saying that he now favors same-sex marriage.
Yep, and here it is, front page headlines, now embraces gay marriage. Hey, can I tell you an open secret? He put it in writing in 1996 that he stands for it. Sorry to say, the reason that he publicly withdrew from it was simply politics. Sorry to say it, but it's true. Thank you for the update.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I don't believe Mr. Obama's views on marriage have evolved. Sorry. He's our president. I respect him as our president, but I do not believe his views have evolved. I believe he now feels constrained with political pressure and with the climate of the moment that he can now say what he has felt for years and years and years, that he believes in redefining marriage. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Here, I was reading an editorial on CNN.com by a gay journalist who also writes for ESPN.com, and he was accusing Mr. Obama of keeping his conscience in the closet. And he has a link. This is well known. There's a picture of Mr. Obama. He's running for senator. It's 1996, and there was a questionnaire that he was asked, where do you stand on this? Where do you stand on this? And here is his typed answer. This is to Outlines. This was a newspaper that was going to be publishing what he said. This is point number six. He's answering specific questions. This is the typed answer, and it's from friends of Barack Obama, candidate for state senate, 13th district. Quote, I favor legalizing same-sex marriage and would fight efforts to prohibit such marriages. 1996, when he was running in the early days campaigning for the presidential election, when he was battling Hillary Clinton, I read on the air a letter he had written to gay and lesbian Democrats in California, San Francisco, I believe it was, where he explicitly said that he stood with them in these goals. And Joe Salmanese, the head of the Human Rights Campaign, gay activist organization, this week said, we all know where he stands. We all know he supports same-sex marriage. He needs to come out and say it. This is not evolving. When you put it in print in 1996 and reiterate it 4 years ago, and then act in all these ways to undermine natural organic marriage and to advocate for same-sex unions, same-sex marriage, there's nothing evolving. The only thing that's evolving is when you're now releasing this to the public. I'm sorry to be so direct about this because I speak carefully when it comes to leaders, and you know I don't take Democrat, Republican sides. And this is not a political show. This is kingdom-based. Wednesday, we focus on the world, moral, cultural issues. But for the president now to come out and say that he supports same-sex marriage, that his views have evolved over the years, sorry, he's already on record, as the gay community knows. Back in 1996, in writing, quote, I favor legalizing same-sex marriage. 1996, friends, and would fight effort to prohibit such marriages. That's why he said he was disappointed with the North Carolina vote and found it divisive and discriminatory. 866-34-TRUTH. Sophie in Durham, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks a lot. I'm actually a student at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and I am so proud of my county and Orange County for voting against the amendment, and I'm so disappointed to be a North Carolinian in every sense of the word today, because the simplest thing to me is just the fact that in the U.S. Constitution, the idea of separation of church and state is just so plain.
All right, hang on, Sophie, just start here, because I want to hear you out, all right?
Okay.
Where is separation of church and state in the Constitution?
That's just a fundamental idea of our entire society.
No, but hang on. Where is it in the Constitution?
I mean, it is in the Constitution.
No, it's not in the Constitution. Not mentioned, not hinted at in the Constitution. Part of the First Amendment. But
so
it
is the First Amendment. So
the First Amendment is not the Constitution. So let's just start there.
Okay.
What was the purpose?
The Bill of Rights.
What was the purpose of the separation of church and state? And what did Thomas Jefferson champion? What does it say, actually?
Just the idea that everyone has different views religiously, and they should not come into the actual laws that
are made. No. That's not what it says. You're a college student, Sophie. That's not what it says. It says the opposite. It says that the state shall not impose a religion on the nation, and the state will stay out of the church's business, so that it will not be like the Church of England, where you had a national religion that the state imposed on the church. And Thomas Jefferson wrote to people who were concerned, and he said that the whole purpose is to keep the state out of the church.
No. It's the separation. It goes both ways, separation of church and state.
I'm telling you what Jefferson said, Sophie. This is not a myth. This is factual. But let me ask you a question.
Do you think that there is religious ideas in the North Carolina Constitution now? Because if you can give me any reason that the amendment passed is a good thing that doesn't have to do with religion, I would be so happy to hear it.
Thousands of studies indicate that kids do best with a mom and dad.
That's not true. What studies? I need you to actually name the studies.
Sophie, there are thousands. If you stay on the air afterwards, okay, we'll get an email or something, and we will send you tons of information. You're going to take about 10 years to read it all because there's so much. But in any case, you just asked me for the reasons. The reasons are kids do best when raised with a mom and dad. We do not want an activist judge to come in here and overturn what the will of the people is and what we believe marriage should be, because right now it was outlawed to start redefining marriage. This is the first thing. The second thing is, if an activist judge could redefine marriage, and then that gets taught in schools, as is happening in other states. So, for example, in Massachusetts, if you say, you know, I don't want my kid taught about homosexual activism in school, the courts have ruled that you can't pull your kid out, that it's more important that they learn, quote, diversity, then the requests of the parents are honored. Then we have in other countries and other states where religious groups have now had to get out of the adoption industry. Some are not able to speak out anymore. Why? Because they differ with same-sex marriage.
I would hate for religion to be a reason why someone couldn't adopt a child, just as I would hate for the fact that there's two moms or two dads to have anything to do with the adoption industry at all.
How about polygamy? How do you feel about polygamy? Is that okay?
No.
Why not?
Well, because
it's practiced around the world for thousands of years and millions of people. Why is it wrong, Sophie?
I don't actually. I'm going to change my answer. If people want to be polygamous, that's fine. But the thing is, like, I don't feel any way about polygamy in a religious sense, so it doesn't have anything to do with politics.
All right, but hang on, Sophie. Do you have friends who are Christians who oppose the amendment?
Not many of them.
But some of them did.
I don't know any. Yes, I do know people who are Christian who oppose the amendment. Absolutely.
All right, and they did it based on Christian principles. They felt that Jesus would oppose the amendment, right?
Yeah, well, no. They just feel that the Bible, more than it preaches man and woman marriage, preaches the idea of loving your neighbor.
But that was okay for them to vote based on their biblical views, but it's not okay for me to vote based on my biblical views? I don't get it.
Because
that's discriminatory.
No.
I can't vote as a... All right, so Sophie, I can't vote as an American citizen because I have certain views. I'm not allowed to do that. If you want to keep talking, stay right there. But in any case, Dwight wants to get some contact info. We won't put you on a mailing list. We won't give your name out to anybody else. But I want to send you some info. If you can stay on the line, Sophie, that'd be great. So Dwight, get her contact info, and then we'll keep talking to Sophie.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends. Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. There was a wonderful victory for righteousness for families here in North Carolina yesterday. Overwhelming vote, 61% to 39%, said yes, marriage is the union of a man and woman, and we don't want any activist judge to be able to overturn that and change what our kids learn in school and change what our religious practices and convictions will be. And in point of fact, we have been told, oh, the battle's over. I mean, your side antiquated. The Charlotte Observer wrote a very bitter, very, very bitter editorial attacking the great majority of the people that voted and said, yeah, marriage is the union of a man and woman. And I want to encourage you, friends, to stand up for what's right and to be true to your convictions and not to believe this lie that it's all over and everybody knows it's all over and just capitulate. Remember, I've told you that those who oppose our views, their mantra is basically, we will intimidate and we will manipulate until you capitulate. And what good news for the nation, as Mr. Obama now says that his views have evolved and he's now embracing same-sex marriage, which is nonsense. He's on record in writing in 1996 as saying he wanted to legalize same-sex marriage. He's just openly saying it now. At least the cards are on the table. I am having a delightful conversation with a student at UNC, University of North Carolina in Durham. I debated one of the famous professors there, Dr. Bart Ehrman, a few years back on the Bible and the problem of suffering. And Sophie is proud of her county, which voted against the amendment, and ashamed to be a North Carolinian today. Sophie, you're still there.
Yes, I am.
All right. First, I just want to read to you the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Okay, so they can't say the national religion is Catholicism or Anglican or whatever, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. So please explain to me, as a thinking college student, how me voting as a citizen, just as you vote, for many reasons, I do not want to see marriage redefined, biblical, moral, family, social, many, many reasons, including having friends that have come out of homosexuality, even a family member that came out of homosexuality. So I have many reasons not to. So I vote based on that. You vote. You could be an atheist. You could be a Buddhist. You could be a Christian, whatever. You vote. Why don't we both have the right to do that? How does separation of church and state prohibit me from exercising my freedoms as a citizen?
I think it's great that all of the Christians in the society have voted for this and that they have their own reasons for it. But the fact that it was even on the ballot, the fact that this was even proposed in the first place when it's absolutely not needed, gay marriage is already illegal in North Carolina. All it does is make it so that unions that are created between two men or two women or a man or a woman don't have any rights if they're not actually married.
Sophie, actually, this has been passed in state after state across the country, and there's been no problems. North Carolina is one of many states with similar language, and we haven't had these problems. And the amendment explicitly said this shall not interfere with any private parties making any contractual arrangements that they want to.
Okay,
but these are just scare tactics. But Sophie,
I went to a conference about the amendment, and they stated that if there is a couple that's not married and the man beats the woman, she can no longer file for domestic violence because it's not a recognized union in North Carolina anymore.
You know what that is? Scare tactic.
No, that's a fact, actually.
Sophie, it's not a fact.
You can say that scare tactics are facts as well.
Sophie, I'm sorry. We got a break. Sophie, you're protected by the law because it's violence. If somebody beats you up, family member or not, that's violence. That's against the law. I want to talk to you one more minute, though, all right? We got a break. We got a longer segment. Stay with me.
It's the light.
Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm having the joy of having an extended conversation with Sophie, a college student in North Carolina who is ashamed of fellow North Carolinians for voting for the marriage amendment. In point of fact, it is a resounding victory for righteousness and for family. I appreciate Sophie staying with me. We've had a few breaks, and she's concerned. Went to a conference, and they said that let's say you've got a civil union, domestic partnership of some kind, and now with this amendment, if there's violence between them, that they'll no longer be protected. I just want you to hear what a district attorney said on that.
Prosecutors and law enforcement agree it's false to claim the marriage amendment will impact domestic violence protections.
This amendment will have no impact on domestic violence prosecutions. And the citizens of this state should not be deceived into thinking otherwise.
Don't be misled. Please vote for the marriage protection amendment.
Now that was an ad that was put together by Vote for Marriage North Carolina, but that was District Attorney Phil Berger for one of the counties here in North Carolina, the district attorney saying it's false. Sophie, the thing that troubles me is you have Campbell University, the law school, their professors put out a white paper saying this is false. This is not going to happen. You have district attorneys getting on TV saying this is false. This is not going to happen. And we have state after state after state that has passed similar laws, and it hasn't happened. Is it possible that you're being misinformed?
Well, I also think it's possible that you're being misinformed, too, because I've heard the exact opposite argument from people who are in law enforcement here in Durham and Orange County and things like that. And I have been to conferences about the amendment who have strictly told me specific things about that. And I don't think that it's any coincidence that the counties that are heavily populated, developed, and have universities all voted against the amendment.
So the smart ones.
Saying the smart ones.
The educated ones?
The people who were educated about the amendment and understood the consequences of voting for the amendment, because this is way more than marriage, because if it were just about marriage, then we wouldn't have an amendment at all, because it's already illegal in North Carolina.
No, Sophie, the reason for the amendment is so an activist judge cannot redefine marriage. And when people go for civil unions, that's just a step towards it. It was 100% to do with marriage. But I want to point something out. I've got a PhD from NYU. I know other PhDs and highly educated people who voted for the amendment. I know lawyers, people in law enforcement who voted for the amendment. I want to point something out. You were misinformed about separation of church and state. You said it's in the Constitution. It's not. Then you had a misconception about what it actually says. So you're misinformed about that. And we have, let's say I have my opinion, you have yours. My lawyer that I know has his opinion, your lawyer has his. What we do have, though, Sophie, is over a dozen states out of the 31 now that have passed marriage amendments in the Constitution, over a dozen have almost the identical language. And these problems are simply not surfacing around the country. That is all you need to know. And here's the other question. If somebody beats you up, Sophie, God forbid it happens, somebody beats you up who knows you or who doesn't know you. Somebody beats you up who's a family member or who's not. Somebody beats you up who's married to you or who's in a civil partnership with you or who just lives with you. God forbid this happens. You're protected under the law in all those cases. Doesn't matter what the union is or not.
It just has to do with the wording of the law that has to do with visitation rights, adoption rights, all things that have to do with the difference between whether you're married or not that actually affects all relationships, not just homosexual ones.
Let's take visitation rights. Are you aware that it is the law in North Carolina and it will continue to be the law that anyone can designate any person they want to visit them? That's law? That visitation rights are 100% guaranteed, Sophie? That if a gay man wants to have his gay partner be the one that can visit him in the hospital, go into the emergency room, all that, he just needs that information in advance? Because otherwise, who knows who a person is, right? In other words, unless I'm husband and wife, nobody knows who a person is. All it has to be is that
that's a freak accident and he didn't have time to write down his name.
Okay, what if it's a freak accident and somebody wants to come in and kill him that doesn't even know him? In other words, the hospital has to know who people are, right?
Then it would make sense for them to have a marriage so that you would be able to identify.
But it's not
them.
But Sophie, it's not a marriage. It's not a marriage. Marriage is the union of a man and woman. You just can't take something that's been the only thing we've known through society and change it because two people like each other. But Sophie, listen. Then you're saying that all couples living together that choose to live together out of wedlock should go ahead and get married. And if they don't get married, it's their own fault.
If they choose to.
But you're saying they have to. But Sophie, I want to come back to something, though, that's very important to me. You said that you have Christian friends who feel that the greater emphasis in the Bible is not against homosexuality. It's more on, say, love your neighbor as yourself. I had to cut you off because we had a break. But I think that's what you were saying, that Jesus taught love your neighbor as yourself, and that was his greater emphasis. So based on that, we should embrace same-sex marriage. We should embrace
I don't think that's the reason. I don't think the Bible has anything to do with why we should embrace same-sex marriage.
Okay, but Sophie, what if it does? I know many gay pastors and straight allies. There's a straight pastor here in Charlotte with a congregation of close to 2,000 people, at least it used to be. And he got up publicly and said that we should vote against the marriage amendment based on Christian principles. Did he have the right to do that, or was that a violation of church and state?
I mean, that's a good point. You could say both ways that it shouldn't have anything to do with it, but I think that...
Hang on. That's not what separation of church and state means. I read the amendment to you. It says nothing about that. Many of the founding fathers were Christians. Others were strong believers in God that weren't Christian, but they were strong believers in God.
But the reason that the amendment is on the Constitution is, and the fact that people are justifying it by a phrase in the Bible is completely constitutional.
It doesn't matter what, they're just voting. All it is one person voting. That's all. In other words, Sophie, if you say there is no God, and because there is no God, I'm going to vote against any Christian candidate, that's your right, Sophie. If you say, I believe I'm a committed Jew and I'm looking for a Jew that's running for Congress, that's your right. That's your right as an American.
The fact that marriage is now defined in the North Carolina Constitution based on the way that it's defined in the Bible, that is unconstitutional.
Sophie, it's based on people voting. And the amendment said nothing about the Bible. Whatever people form their views on is their vote to write. Their right to vote. In other words, here is an amendment. Did the amendment mention the Bible? No. Did the amendment say God designed? No. The amendment simply said that marriage shall be recognized as the union of a man or woman, and that'll be the only recognized union or partnership, and did it mention the Bible?
Well, this just shows the downfall of direct democracy. I mean, sometimes I think that some things really should be left to the people who understand the consequences of the law. And I think a lot of political, almost every person who's high up in the North Carolina government has voiced their thoughts against this amendment, including the former Democrat and Republican mayor of Charlotte.
So, Sophie, I think you got it now. We just need the smart people, the educated people who think like you, to take control and to weed out these bigoted backwoods Bible preachers like me, and America will be a better place. Okay, then say it.
I think that if people understood the consequences of the amendment,
but we do. So Sophie, we do. That's why we voted for it overwhelmingly, because we do understand. Can you recognize? Can you please step back and recognize that I thoroughly understand this? That I know some of the top attorneys in America who have looked at these issues for years, that I have invested years of serious study into these issues, that I thoroughly understand it, and I differ with you? Is that possible?
It's fine that we differ from opinions, but I just would like to say...
No. You didn't answer my question. Is it possible that I fully understand the consequences of it, and with full understanding, I voted as I voted?
Sure.
Okay, well then that settles it then. Then throw out what you just said, that it's better that class that agrees with you, that claims to be educated, that they get to make the decisions. You know, a lot of times the elite class is dead wrong, and a lot of times the elite class is self-deceived, and a lot of times the elite class brings a lot of destruction on a lot of people, and a lot of times it's the working moms and dads who are out there on the front lines and the people
who
are working
your... How about the moms and moms? How about the dads and dads? What about their families?
The fact of the matter is we have no obligation to sanction every family unit. What about the moms and moms and moms? Two moms is not best for kid. Two dads is not best for kid. If you had allowed us to get you contact info, Sophie, I would have gladly sent it. You tell you what, you got one more shot. I got to run. I want to get to Ken's Tall in Tampa. But Sophie, tell you what, I have a 700-page book I wrote. I would like to send it to you as a gift. All right? Give me somebody else's address. We'll send it to them. Dwight's going to give you one more shot at it. It's my gift to you, Sophie, if you take it.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Was that educational or what, friends? I'm so glad Sophie called, and I appreciate her staying on so long. She didn't give us an opportunity to send her anything via email, references, sources, or to send her my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. But I appreciate her calling. If you're still listening, Sophie, thanks for dialoguing with me. Boy, I couldn't disagree with you more passionately. And when you said I put words in your mouth, I'm not so sure that I did. All right, before I go back to the phones, I'm so thrilled to have this in my hands, already getting great reports about this. Our friends with Truth in Action Ministries took my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, reduced it to a beautiful 64-page paperback, took four of the key chapters of the book in a condensed form. You'll read it, and it will open your eyes, and you'll want to give this to everybody you know. It's called The Stealth Agenda. You can't buy it right now. So whatever you can afford, your gift of any size, you don't have much, don't worry about it. It's our joy to send it out. You can be generous with us. Boy, that would really, really help us do what we're doing on the radio and around the world. But call right now. Our team is ready to take your call. If you believe in what we're doing, hold my hands up as we stand for righteousness. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size, we will send this out. If you become a monthly torchbearer, it will also be our gift along with another surprise for you. Look, I am concerned for those in North Carolina who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and they say, wow, you know, you're just rejecting us. And I understand that. That concerns me. Nonetheless, we have to do what's right and then continue to build relationships and reach out to individuals with the compassion of Jesus. Ken in Tampa, thanks so much for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, hello. My name's Ken Hersey.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, you met me down here in Tampa at South Tampa, you know, Suresh David.
Great. Okay. Glad to have met you, sir.
Down here for USF. Remember, University of
yes,
South
of course. Yeah, we're about to have the video finished on that lecture that I gave. Yeah, what's on your mind, sir?
Well, I you know, think a lot about how Scripture, you know, we're supposed to follow it, right? But I think the biggest stumbling block and cause for the downfall of our country is other people that say that they're Christians, but they don't follow the Scripture.
Like, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
First Corinthians 7:10. And unto the married I command ye, yet not I, but the Lord. I mean, this is a commandment of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Let not the wife depart from her husband, but if she should depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. For other references, anyway.
Right, and then of course it gives certain situations. If the unbeliever departs, then the believer is not bound in that case. But right, in other words, heterosexual divorce is epidemic proportions in society, in the church. That's why, Ken, for decades, family ministries have been emphasizing the importance of healthy marriages, have been speaking against rampant no-fault divorce. So this has been on our radar. In fact, I can guarantee you, if you go to 10,000 churches across America and listen to sermons over the course of a year, you'll hear sermons on marriage and family. You will not hear a lot about gay activism. The reason we're dealing with this is because gay activism is marching through our society, is in our schools, is taking away religious liberties, taking away freedoms of speech, freedom of conscience. People are not marching down the streets in favor of divorce. The media is not sending out a message to our kids constantly celebrating divorce. On and on and on it goes. So gay activism came knocking at my door. That's why I've been burdened to do what I'm doing and to speak the truth in love because of it. So I want to say plainly, heterosexual divorce has done more to destroy and undermine marriage than all gay activists combined.
Where do the gay gene supposedly come from other than from dysfunctional families and molested children?
Yeah, well, there are some that's definitely right.
Causes gayness.
Right. In certain cases, that is true, Ken. In certain cases, it can definitely be traced to molestation. So let me say this again. Divorce has done more to undermine marriage than all gay activists put together. And the great problem in America today is not so much the presence of darkness as the absence of light. What I'm doing, sir, is standing up as salt and light and seeking to make a difference. So we continue to stand for marriage day and night. And at the same time, because we stand for marriage, we stand against the redefinition of marriage, which further undermines it. It's both and. So amen to your call. Amen to the scriptures. Jesus made a big issue of this, and we need to. Those who are victims of divorce and getting healing and restoration in your life, I'm not throwing condemnation on you. May the Lord help you restore and rebuild your life. But those who think, well, we're just not getting along. Well, we're not compatible. Well, you know, we don't love each other, that you somehow have the right to divorce. God forbid. You're married for life. There are certain conditions that can break that. Those are laid out in Scripture. Other than that, marriage is for life. All right, Ken, wish we had more time to talk. Thanks. Rod Todd, and others, sorry I cannot get to your calls. Thanks for those wanting to shout out congratulatory words here in North Carolina. It is very encouraging. It is very encouraging to see, friends, that when we're constantly told, it's over, throw in the towel, you're on the wrong side of history, that here the voters in North Carolina vote. And what do they vote? They vote overwhelmingly, 61-39%. That is strong. And the opponents of Amendment 1 clearly outspent those who were standing for the marriage amendment. 61-39%. Cast the lies off. It's too late. Cast the lies off, friend. Stand up for what's right, and let's bring change. And at the same time, let's reach out on a relational, individual level to those in the homosexual community that will say, well, you just hate us, reject us. No, we're not going to redefine marriage, but we care about you as individuals. Reach out to them with the love of God in tangible, real ways. Can I encourage every one of you, stand with us. I'm asking you personally to stand with us. Give us a call right now, 1-800-278-9978. Our team is ready to take your call. I'd love to send out as many of these Stealth Agenda mini books as I can. You'll find it an amazing read and an ideal thing to give out to your friends. So I can't just give them away right now, but your gift of any size, so that means everyone can afford it. Your gift of any size, allow us to send this to you, a Stealth Agenda condensing four of the key chapters from my 700-page book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or just go online, ask drbrown.org, make your donation now, and we will send you a Stealth Agenda for your gift of any size. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, fear not, friends. Light will always outshine darkness, and truth will always triumph over lies. And Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When you're on the side of truth, friends, you have nothing to fear.